Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 22, Qualities of Sri Krishna, further explained. Verse 21, 146. The enjoyer is illustrated first. Right, so the person who is an enjoyer and is not touched by a trace of sorrow is called a happy person. Right, from 2.145. O best of the Yadus, the quality of your jeweled ornaments cannot even be imagined by Kubera, the lord of wealth. The singing and dancing taking place at your door cannot be imagined by Indra, even in his dreams. At your side constantly are beautiful women who enjoy all your attractive limbs, who are decorated with the tips of your moon-like fingernails, and who are thus superior to the wife of Shiva. In this world, there is no enjoyer like you. Srila Prabhupada. As far as Krishna's enjoyment is concerned, it is stated that the ornaments who decorated the bodies of Krishna and his queens were beyond the dreams of Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly kingdom. Right, so he's seen the best there is. Right, so this is beyond what he can even imagine. Not just that it's good quality, you know. The constant dancing before the doors of Krishna's palaces was not even imagined by the demigods in the heavenly kingdom. In the heavenly kingdom, Indra always sees the dancing of the society girls. But even Indra could not imagine how beautiful were the dances being performed at the gates of Krishna's palaces. Right. That's always in his court. Then there's always the apsaras are dancing and everything like that. Like we see when Arjuna went, and he spent some time there. So then he came and Indra kept him, you know, had him sit on the throne with him, right? Because he's his kid, you know. So he just sits there. And so then he saw the dancers, and then he commented. Arjuna commented how good a dancer was Urvasi, right? So. In Indra's mind, that meant Indra fancied her, rather than he was just saying she's a good dancer, right? Because she's the best. And so he can't imagine, right, like that. Because this is the material quality, like that, or that kind of thing, that transformative aspect. While here you're dealing with the spiritual quality. Gauri means white woman, and Lord Shiva's wife is called Gauri. The beautiful women residing within the palace of Krishna were so much whiter than Gauri that they were compared to the moonshine, and they were constantly visible to Krishna. Therefore, no one can be enjoying more than Krishna. The concept of enjoyment is beautiful women, ornaments, and riches, and all of these were fabulously present in the palaces of Krishna, defeating even the imagination of Kuvera, Lord Indra, or Lord Shiva. Right? So it's just so much better than whatever was there is within the material world. And Krishna is showing this. It's not to, you know, outdo others and show he's better. It's just this is the performance of his pastimes to attract our attention to him and his pastimes. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a verse sung by a bard. Shashi Kala can mean who are decorated with the tips of the fingernails or marks of the fingernails, which are like many moons. End quote. Or, in reference to the wife of Shiva, Gauri, it can mean who possesses only one digit of the moon, which is situated on Shiva's forehead. Kanta Sarvanga Bhaja can mean who enjoyed all the attractive limbs of Krishna. Or it can mean in reference to the wife of Shiva, who shares half of the body of her beloved. Thus, the alternative meaning is, you are accompanied by many women who are superior to Gauri. Right? So, only one digit of the moon. Right? Because there's 16, the Shodashakalas, the 16 angas of the moon. So, Gauri in comparison to the girls who are with Krishna, she's only one digit of the moon compared to their 16. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not so much. Right? I'm not sure if it means that. It means that the moon is situated, so she only possesses one digit of that. So how it's being said here, I don't think it's referring so much to there. It's referring to her when it says who shares half of the body. Like that, because Shiva and Parvati, it'll be half-half. You know, it's like there's that one deity in Surup Ganj, like that, where... Whereas half Hari, no, that's Harihara. That's Shiva and Vishnu, yeah. And that means so it's not there. There's another deity. Sometimes you see him as one where half is Shiva, half is Parvati, like that. So the so then this aspect of being half that means that how close, how intimate, and everything is there. But I don't think it's meaning that the moon represents necessarily her. Not that it can't, but I don't think it's directly meaning that here. Okay. So meaning is this: you're accompanied by many women who are superior to Gauri, Shiva's wife, because they all enjoy your limbs, whereas she enjoys only half of Shiva's body. Right? She has half, so but they're enjoying all the limbs, right? So that's why it specifically mentions. And they are decorated with countless moons of your fingernail tips, whereas she is decorated with a reflection of only one moon on Shiva's forehead. Right, so there it's just she's decorated with that. That's where it's the connection. The pun on words is apt because it shows the superiority to Gauri. Right, so this is where you're using both. You're using the indirect, but you're describing something very directly. So this would be the indication of someone who appreciates it will know what it's talking about and the fineness of it and all that. And those who don't, it's very nice and poetic, and it brings out the superiority of Krishna's situation to Lord Shiva's, or to the girls with Krishna to Parvati with Shiva. Right? So the point is to catch that. That's the point that's being made. And then the other fine elements in that, if one appreciates them, then that's nice. And if not, then it doesn't matter to understanding the point. Right? 2.1.147. Being without a trace of sorrow is illustrated next. O wives of the Brahmanas, not even a trace of sorrow can touch Krishna, for in him there is no destruction, no decrease, no suffering in household affairs, no cause of fear, and no worry. He does not know any of the suffering of this world. He is eternally engaged in amusing himself in Vrindavan with beautiful women, who were perfect, the best of friends, and held the highest love. Srila Prabhupada. Not even a slight distress can touch Krishna. Once some of the gopis went to the place where the Brahmanas were performing sacrifices and said, "Dear wives of the Brahmanas, you must know that not even a slight smell of distress can touch Krishna. He knows no loss. He knows no defamation. He has no fear. He has no anxiety. And he does not know calamity. He is simply encircled by the dancers of Braja and is enjoying their company in the Rasa dance." Because with no material need and with no material attachment, then where is the distress? Someone says something bad about him, but he has no attachment to material fame, so it's thus not like it's decreasing his fame. He is who he is. Right? So that's the whole point. He is who he is, and so therefore you cannot... Someone can't make him sorrowful, because we become sorry because of loss. But with him, there's no loss because everything is him anyway. What's that? Does that make sense? So for him, it's just the tasting of the relationships, the rasa between himself and the devotees. That's for him the element that's important. Yeah.
So what can we say that a pure devotee, he can get the same thing?
Yes. The point is when you take shelter of Krishna, you're beyond the mode, so you're in the same position. It means his is unlimited, ours is maybe limited, but the experience being connected to Krishna, then you experience the unlimited. even though we're limited. That's the specialty. Yes. So that's the point, is the devotees are in the same position. So they're unaffected. Srila Prabhupada. Oh no, he did that one. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a statement made by a messenger of Krishna, acting as a go-between with the wives of the brahmanas. Gauram, terrible here, means there is nothing to cause fear in him. Thus he has no fear at all. Udgurnam means anxiety. Sangi krita suhrid anangabhi vang ghibhi viharati means he consorts with beautiful women who are perfect, the best of friends, possessing the highest love. Though all these things are stated concerning the Lord, it must also be implied that he is not totally ignorant of these things. Thus, what is pointed out here is Krishna's great power to remain without confusion in all such circumstances. Right? So it's not that he doesn't know what the living entities are going through, but he himself never experiences it. Right? Because being all-knowing, he'll know. But his point is it never affects him. He's not affected by it. Because then what will he do? He's with the living entities. He's trying to make arrangements, trying to guide them, bring them in contact with the devotees.
Yes.
You know, the process of devotional service. So, you know, he's doing these things. Right. 2.1.148. There are two ways in which Krishna is friendly to devotees: being easily served and being a friend of his servants. 1.2.149. An example of being easily served from Vishnu Dharma. Footnote 11. This verse is also found in the Gotamiya Tantra. If the devotees offer only water and tulsi leaves to the Lord, being affectionate to the devotees, puts himself under the control of the devotees. Right? So he's easily served. You can have, you know, so much, according to your ability and facility, so many nice things you can do and so many, you know, technical things that can be done to serve Krishna. But at the same time, he's so easily approached and so easy to serve. Right? So because the main thing is the mood, the attitude. So it's not that because he's easy to serve, therefore, we don't have to worry and have about the right attitude. The point is it's the attitude that's important to Krishna. So therefore, so everyone can express that, he is easily approachable. Srila Prabhupada, well-wisher of his devotees. It is said of Krishna's devotees that if they offer even a little water or tulsi leaf in devotion to Lord Vishnu is so kind that he will sell himself to them. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, Vikrinite Swam Atmanam, he sells his soul, means that he puts himself completely under the control of the devotees. 2.1.150. An example of being the friend of a servant from the first canto. Fulfilling my desire and sacrificing his own promise, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel and ran towards me hurriedly, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his upper garment on the way. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.37. Because dropping his upper garment, he's totally focused on what he's doing. Otherwise, dealing with the upper garment is something you always deal with. So even without thinking, you can deal with it. Right? So it's not a difficulty to deal with it. But the point is, he's so absorbed that even he doesn't deal with it like that. Does that make sense? It just means the intensity is so much more. So that's why you would bring this out. That's why we would notice these things. So, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's favoritism towards his devotees was exhibited in his fight with Bhishma. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying at the point of death on the bed of arrows, Krishna was present before him, and Bhishma was remembering how Krishna had been kind to him on the battlefield. Krishna had promised that in the battle of Kurukshetra, he would not even touch a weapon to help either side. He would remain neutral. Although Krishna was Arjuna's charioteer, he had promised that he would not help Arjuna by using any weapons. But one day, Bhishma, in order to nullify Krishna's promise, exhibited his fighting spirit so magnificently against Arjuna that Krishna was obliged to get down from his chariot. Taking up a broken chariot wheel, he ran towards Grandfather Bhishma, as a lion runs towards an elephant to kill it. Grandfather Bhishma remembered the scene, and he later praised Krishna for his glorious favoritism towards his devotee, Arjuna, even at the risk of breaking his own promise. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is the statement of Bhishma on leaving his body. Krishna gave up his promise, Nigamam Apahayam, Apahaya, to take up arms in the war. Quote, I also made an oath to make Krishna take up arms. Though standing in Arjuna's chariot to make my oath come true, Krishna got down on the ground and took the chariot wheel in his hand. Being absorbed in this, his top cloth fell off, Gata Uttariya, and by that absorption, with his manifested power, the earth shook. He came towards me to kill me, but did not do so. May that Mukunda who is be the object of my mind. Right? So that aspect, rather than just, you know, he's great, he's God, he's this, but that aspect of the interaction between the Lord, how he favors the devotee, how he's a friend of the devotee, how he's accessible to the devotee. Right? So that's the part that he is remembering. This is stated in the next verse. He was like a lion attacking an elephant, me. His sense of friendship with its devotion detected a trace of past devotion in me, who by fate have now become a great offender to Krishna and his friend Arjuna. In addition, such friendship increased my glory while decreasing his glory. Right? So that it increases his glory in that the devotee is always glorious, but at the same time it's decreasing because Bhishma was able to break Krishna's vow. Yes. And so in that way, there could be a decrease in his. But you see, it's just because of the devotion.
Yes.
So you see, he stopped. That Krishna alone has such friendship with his pure devotees at all times. Right? So, he detected that little bit of devotion. He's saying little bit.
Yes.
And so he sees that was that previous quality was there, because we see is that there's all these connections. That he sees what someone has done. That's the thing. And so even though something's going wrong here, he sees all the service he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when Arjuna is telling him, don't kill him, then he's not killing. One, it fulfills Arjuna's wish, but also because Bhima has rendered service.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Two 151. He who is controlled only by affection is called controlled by love. Srila Jiva Goswami. He is controlled not by service or other elements, but by the love. Right. So we're rendering service to please Krishna. That's why then we're advancing. We're developing. We're starting to get that taste. Right. But it's not the service that's being rendered. It's the affection with which it's being rendered. Right. Does that make sense? But at the same time, it's real affection. So it's not like Sahajiyas, they make a show. They say, oh, we don't need the service, we just make a show. Right? But no, it's that you're actually, so the commitment and that's why it's called Buddhi Yoga. With intelligence, you've accepted, I'm going to serve Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? And then because of that, then one moves forward. So, yeah? Good. An example in the 10th canto. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmana, and thus he shed tears of love. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.80.19. Srila Prabhupada, controlled by love, 40. Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. Right, so it's not exactly, it's not that he doesn't, the service is not there. No one can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete and self-sufficient that he has no need of any service from the devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. Because he's self-sufficient, so what could you do that would oblige him? So it's the devotion. A very nice example of this obligatory behavior was manifested when Sudama Vipra went to Krishna's palace. Sudama Vipra had been a class friend of Krishna's, and due to his poverty, he was induced by his wife to see Krishna to request some aid. When Sudama Vipra reached Krishna's palace, Krishna received him very well, and both he and his wife washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, showing respect to the Brahmana. Remembering his loving affairs with Sudama in their childhood, Krishna began to shed tears while receiving him. 2.1.153. Another example from the 10th canto. Because of Mother Jashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.18. Srila Prabhupada. Another instance of Krishna's obligation to his devotee is described in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Sukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, "My dear king, when Mother Jashoda was perspiring, tired of trying to bind Krishna up with rope, Krishna agreed to allow her to bind him." End quote. Krishna, as a child, was disturbing his mother by his naughty activities, and she wanted to bind him up. Mother Jashoda brought some rope from the house and tried to tie up the child, but she could not tie a knot due to the shortness of the rope. She tied together many ropes, but when she finished, still the rope was too short. After a while, she felt very tired and began to perspire. At that time, Krishna agreed to be bound up by his mother. In other words, no one can bind Krishna by any means other than love. He is bound only by obligation to his devotees because of their ecstatic love for him. That's why he can't be known by any other process. So if you're using karma, jnana, or yoga, you can't know the Lord completely. Right? You'll know some fraction of the Lord, but you won't really actually understand. Srila Jiva Goswami, this is an example of extreme control of Krishna by extreme love. Yes. 2.1.154. He who works for the benefit of all beings is called the benefactor of all. Srila Prabhupada. 41. All auspicious. A person who is always engaged in auspicious welfare activities for everyone is known as all auspicious. 2.1.155. He gave benefit to the sages by the display of his qualities manifested in Dwarka. He gave benefit to the followers of Dharma by destroying the wicked. He gave success to the rascals by killing them in battle. To whom did Krishna not give benefit? Srila Prabhupada. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna from this planet, Uddhava began to remember the activities of Lord and said, quote, "Krishna satisfied all the great sages by his wonderful pastimes. He demolished all of the demoniac activities of the cruel royal order, protected all pious men, and killed all cruel fighters on the battlefield. Therefore, he is all auspicious for all men." Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a statement of Uddhava after Krishna's disappearance from the earth. The sages who take pleasure in the Atma, being liberated, receive benefit from the display of the Lord's qualities manifested in Dwarka. The following verse illustrates this. Atma ramas chamunayo nirgrantha ap urukrame kurvant yahai tukam bhaktim itam bhuta guno harihi. All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma, or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render an unalloyed devotional service under the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. 1.7.10. So he's benefiting everybody by this dealings. Right? So by the performance of the pastimes, then the liberated persons are there, right? Then we ourselves, by following in that footsteps, then we are coming to this. He's removing the obstacles so that the pious and they're more they're benefited. And the demons, by killing them, then they get liberated. So he's benefiting everybody.
Can we say that he also benefits the karmi by giving the result of the desire?
Yeah, no, all that is there. Yes, yes. Because no, the thing is how do you get the result unless the obstacle is removed?
Yes.
So the obstacle is being removed in the performance of one's duties, then Krishna is doing that.
Yes.
Means we'll take it that I'm doing that.
Yes.
You know, I'm working really hard, I remove the obstacle, but it's by Krishna's grace it goes away. Because other people in the same situation, it doesn't go away.
Yes, yes.
You know? And, you know, some it goes away quicker, some it goes away slower. Right? So that's by Krishna's grace.
Yes.
So it's just, you know, but here he's doing it on a grand scale by killing all the demons and that. So he's removing the obstacles and that. At the same time, he's removing the obstacles for the pious, but at the same time he's benefiting the demons by killing them.
Yes.
So in one activity he does both. Yeah. 2.1.156. One who is famous for inflicting pain on the enemy with astonishing valor is called glorious and effulgent person. Srila Prabhupada. 42. Most powerful. A person who can always put his enemies into calamities is called powerful. Right? Like that. Says no matter what they do, he's got something else for them. So that's powerful. Otherwise, he does something and then they get over that, then who's more powerful? Right? But he can constantly do that. Doesn't matter what they do, he always has a counter. Yes. Yes. Well, that's how he can overcome anything. Right? 2.1.157. When you illuminate the world with your brilliancy, which is like the sun, the darkness of mountain caves becomes the shelter for the terrible demons who are like owls. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna was present on this planet, just as the powerful sun drives all darkness to take shelter in caves, he drove away all of his enemies, who fled like owls to take shelter beyond his sight. Srila Jiva Goswami. Right? Because you can't drive them away unless whatever... Because it's not that they come, he gives a counter, and then they run away. Right? Means they come, they do something, he counters, then they attack. So he keeps doing that until the point, then they just go away. You know. Srila Jiva Goswami. Pratap Payati means he illuminates. The usage of the word tapi is found in such words as Nisinga Tapani Upanishad. Upanishad, which reveals in Nisinga. In fact, Prakashayati is sometimes found instead of Pratapayati in this verse. In verse 58, the word was defined as having power, Prabhava, because he has the demure of conquering all. Or demure? No, demeanor?
Mm-hmm.
Is it one word, two pronunciations, or two different words? Two different words, okay. He has the demeanor of conquering all. Prabhava sarva jit stitihi. The difference between prabhava and pratapi is that pratapi means a person who is famous for his power over others. Like, prabhava means it shows, but then the pratapi means it's showing, but for one who is famous for his power over others. 2.1.158. A person who is famous for spotless good qualities is called renowned. Srila Prabhupada. 43. All famous. A person who becomes well known due to his spotless character is called famous. Srila Jiva Goswami. In the same way, the meaning Kirtiman is not having spotless qualities, but a person who is famous for having spotless qualities. Because it's not that he just has, he's famous as a person who has that. Because otherwise they say, oh yes, he's great.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is he's a person who is great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2.1.159. O son of Nanda, since the light of the moon of your good qualities has already turned everything radiant, white, how can it make the world thick with Krishna prema? Krishna also means darkness. Yes, so it's just... Huh?
juxtaposition.
Yeah, he's just showing how he already turned every because of the moon of his good qualities, he makes everything bright. But at the same time, is he makes the world thick with Krishna prema, and he's known because he's black. And so then, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, it's stated that the diffusion of Krishna's fame is like the moonshine, which turns darkness into light. In other words, if Krishna consciousness is preached all over the world, the darkness of ignorance and the anxiety of material existence will turn into the whiteness of purity, peacefulness, and prosperity. 2-1-160. So you can see. Another example from Lalita Madhava. O Damodar Krishna, when Narada, playing his veena, began to sing your glories, Parvati, not seeing the blue color of his throat, left Shiva's abode. Balaram, seeing his blue cloth turn white, gave it up in astonishment. And the excited cowherd women, seeing the blue water of the Yamuna turn white, began to churn it, thinking it was milk. Yeah. So it's just that Krishna's, his radiance is so great that he turns everything, makes it into pure. So even here is that Lord Shiva's throat, it because of that effulgence, then you couldn't see the blueness. So then Parvati's thinking, this isn't her husband. Like that. So Balaram also, his cloth, it turns white. You know, he wears blue, but because of Krishna's influence, it turned white. Srila Juva Goswami. This is a playful image according to poetic usage, rather than a description of actual events. Footnote 12. Unless it is specifically mentioned, as in the above case, all statements in Shastra are to be taken in their direct meaning. Right? So he's saying here, it's not that it's just that it's effulgence that you couldn't appreciate the blueness. You just appreciated the effulgence. However, on hearing the glories of Krishna, Parvati does not lose interest in Shiva. Huh? Does lose interest. Oh, okay. Upon hearing the glories of Krishna, Parvati does lose interest in Shiva. Balaram loses interest in his cloth, and the coward women begin churning the Yamuna in ecstasy. Right, so that's happening. Right? Instead of abhir kot ka, excited cowherd women, there's an alternative version, abhirama, cowherd women. Right, so depending upon the writing, because it's all done by hand, so one has the one and one has the other, but they work. 2-1-161. The intelligent say that the person who is the object of attraction for all people is called attractive to people. Srila Prabhupada, 44. Popular. Any person who is very dear to people in general is called a popular man. 2-1-162. An example from the first canto. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Vrindavan or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like millions of years. O infallible one, at that time we become bewildered, just like eyes become bewildered when bereft of the sun. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.9. Srila Prabhupada, as for Krishna's popularity, there's a statement in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, that deals with his returning home from the capital of Hastinapur, while he had been absent from Dwarka at the Battle of Kurukshetra. All the citizens of Dwarka had become morose. Then, when he returned, the citizens joyfully received him and said, "Dear Lord, while you were absent from the city, we passed our days in the darkness of night. As in the darkness of night, every moment appears to be a long duration of time. So while you were gone, every moment appeared to us like millions of years. Your separation is completely unbearable to us." This statement shows how popular Krishna was all over the country. Srila Jiva Goswami. Not only does a moment seem like millions of years, but just as the eyes without the sun are bewildered, so we, Naha, who are your servants, Tava, are bewildered without you. 2-1-163. Another example. When Krishna entered the arena of Kamsa, the sages uttered blessings of victory, victory, victory. The devatas uttered sweet songs of praise. Out of joy, the women shouted loudly all around. Who did not develop attraction for Krishna at the sports arena? Srila Prabhupada. A similar incident occurred when Krishna entered the arena of sacrifice arranged by King Kamsa for his death. As soon as he entered the place, all the sages began to cry, Jaya, 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 which means victory. Krishna was a boy at that time, and all the sages offered their respectful blessings to him. The demigods who were present also began to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna, and the ladies and girls present expressed their joy from all corners of the arena. In other words, there was not one in that particular place with whom Krishna was not very popular. So Kamsa doesn't count. Srila Jiva Goswami. Someone present at the arena speaks. But using repetition of the present tense to express himself briefly. By asking a question at the end of the verse, there is indirect expression that everyone felt happiness and wonder. Instead of Bhejire Nanu Ragam, who would not have attraction? The phrase Nanu Ragam Bhajanti, who is not attracted, is also found. He who has exclusive inclination to the devotees is called the person who protects the devotees. 2.1.165. O Supreme Person, if you did not appear on this earth to bestow auspiciousness, I do not know what condition would befall the devotees from the persecution by all the fierce demons. Srila Prabhupada. 45. Partiality to devotees. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is therefore not partial to anyone, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he has special attraction for a devotee who worships his name in love and affection. When Krishna was on this planet, one devotee expressed his feelings in this way. Quote, My dear Lord, if you had not appeared on this planet, then the asuras, demons, and atheists would have surely created havoc against the activities of the devotees. I cannot imagine the magnitude of such devastation prevented by your presence. End quote. So we see this is always going on. So in some form or another, Krishna here, he's personally coming in the pastimes or through his arrangements of his energies. Then these demons have to be always curbed because they will act in such a way that devotional service can't go on. That's just how they function. From the very beginning of his appearance, Krishna was the greatest enemy of all demoniac persons. Although Krishna's enmity towards the demons is actually comparable to his friendship with the devotees. This is because any demon who is killed by Krishna receives immediate salvation. Right, so they're situated on the spiritual platform, and the devotees are situated on the spiritual platform. But because the demons don't have any affection for Krishna, they don't develop prema. And the devotees who are trying to please Krishna, then they develop prema. But the platform of being situated spiritually, that happens for everybody. That's equally available. Mm-hmm. Somebody says. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2.1.166. The person who enchants a group of women by his very nature is called an attractor of women. Srila Prabhupada, 46. Very attractive to all women. Any person who has special qualifications becomes immediately very attractive to women. Srila Jiva Goswami. Just as the word nari gana manohari indicates that attracting women is his very nature with the ending I, or long I. Sundari vrinda mohana also indicates a person who by his very nature bewilders a group of beautiful women just because of the ending ana on mohana. Footnote 13. Mohana comes from the word mu. With the suffix ana, it becomes mohana. So, mohana, becoming bewildered, comes from mu. So that means that the Buddhists are bewildered. No?
Definitely.
Yes. Srila Jiva Goswami. Okay. Krishna has this special ability of attracting the women because he possesses other qualities, such as having a beautiful body. Suram Yanga, by his very nature. Thus, the women of Raja said, Krishnam Niriksha Vanitot Sava Rupa Shilam. Krishna's beauty and character create a festival for all women. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:21-22. The word Gana in the first phrase and Vrinda in the second phrase indicate a particular section of all women. Thus, there is no overextension of the statement to include those women not endowed with genuine love for Krishna. So it's giving the general, but it also gives some kind of specific within that general. 2:1-167. An example from the 10th canto. The Lord, being glorified in countless ways, forcibly attracts the minds of women who simply hear about him. What to speak then if those women see him directly? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:90-26. Srila Jiva Goswami. Here again, in mentioning women, it refers to a particular group of women. Since he is praised in many ways, Uru Gitaha, by these special devotees, Uru Gaya, he attracts the minds of these particular women. Then certainly he will attract their minds when he is seen by them. Right? So those devotees who are interested to see, to hear about Krishna, then they're attracted. And so then if those same devotees see Krishna, they'll be even more attracted. 2:1-168. Another example. O Madhava, you are a magnet and certain women are iron. Whenever you wander in play, they run after you. Srila Prabhupada. A devotee made the following statement about the queens of Dwarka. Quote, how shall I describe the glories of the queens of Dwarka, who are personally engaged in service of the Lord? The Lord is so great that simply by chanting his names, all the great sages like Narada can enjoy transcendental bliss. So what can be said about those queens who are at every moment seeing the Lord and serving him personally? Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka, and each and every one of them was attracted to Krishna, just as iron is attracted by a magnet. There is a statement by a devotee, my dear Lord, you are just like a magnet, and all the damsels of Braja are just like iron. In whichever direction you are moving, they are following you, as iron is attracted by magnetic force.
The original chick magnet.
Hmm?
The original chick magnet.
Chick magnet, yes. The original chick magnet. Yes.
Adi.
Yes. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse clarifies his nature of attracting women by giving an analogy. The word angana jatihi indicates a particular group of women. 2:1-169. Because he doesn't want to attract just anyone. It's those who have affection for him and devotion. That's just that. Others, then he's not interested in. They'll be attracted by his potency, but it won't be seen in connection with him. That's all. 2:1-169. He who should be worshipped before all others is called all worshipable. Srila Prabhupada, all worshipable. A person who is respected and worshipped by all kinds of human beings and demigods is called Sarva Rajya, or all worshipable. 2:1-170. An example from the first canto. At the Rajasurya Yajna sacrifice, performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders. And in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happened during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:9-41. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is worshipped not only by all living entities, including the great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but also by Vishnu expansions, forms of Krishna, such as Baladeva and Sesha. Baladeva is a direct expansion of Krishna, but he still accepts Krishna as worshipable. When Krishna appeared in the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice, organized by Maharaj Yudhishthira, to all present, including great sages and demigods, Krishna became the cynosure, the center of attraction, and everyone offered him respects. Just here, you have the elite aspect, you know, before, then, as he's going through and describing, so many little situations, and that wouldn't necessarily be, politically correct, you know, in the modern kind of liberal kind of context. But then we can see is they're just trying to get rid of individuality. So it's an impersonal concept. So it's not accepting that different people have different qualities, and so therefore they're glorified. They're just looking at, oh, if someone has special, that means everybody else is less. No, they have special, others are glorified for their special position. Because everybody has some, because they're functioning because of a particular potency of Krishna. So everybody has something special. So 2-1-171. He who possesses great treasure is called prosperous. 2-1-172. O subduer of Mura, 560 million yadus are serving you. Your 8 treasures are raining all wealth. 900,000 pure palaces are shining in glory. Who would not be astonished on seeing your wealth? Srila Prabhupada, all opulent. Krishna is full in all opulences, namely strength, wealth, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. When Krishna was present in Dwarka, his family, which is known as the Yadu dynasty, consisted of 560 million members. And all of these members were very obedient and faithful to Krishna. There were more than 900,000 big palatial buildings there to house all the people, right, in Dwarka itself. And everyone in them respected Krishna as the most worshipable. Devotees were astonished to see the opulence of Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami, the number of 560 million is arrived at by considering the subdivisions of the clan. This is an example from the Lord's pastimes manifested on earth. However, the same exists in the Lord's unmanifest pastimes. It should be understood that by the desire of the Lord, this becomes manifest on earth. Thus it is said in Bhagavatam. O Maharaj Parikit, the home of Nanda Maharaj, is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulences of all wealth. Yet, beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, Raja, place of manifest pastimes, became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.18. So, when Krishna is appearing there, because he is all opulent, then we see is that the goddess of fortune then is performing her pastimes there, and everything becomes very, very opulent there. 2-1-173. Another example from Krishna Karinamrita. In Vrindavan, the ornaments on the feet of the women are chintamani. The flower trees for making decorations are desire trees. The desire cows are the wealth of Raja. This display of wealth is an ocean of happiness. Srila Prabhupada. This was verified by Bilva Mangal Thakur when, in Krishna Karinamrita, he addressed Krishna thus, "My dear Lord, what can I say about the opulence of your Vrindavan? Simply the ornaments on the legs of the damsels of Vrindavana are more than chintamani. And their dresses are as good as the heavenly Parijata flowers. And the cows exactly resemble the Surabhi cows in the transcendental abode. Therefore, your opulence is just like an ocean that no one can measure." Right? So the opulence is unlimited there. Mm-hmm. But you see is that it's chintamani, but it's just ankle bells. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the value of it. You know. The trees and all that can give anything, but they're just the ones that you get flowers for decorations. Right? The Sarabi cows can give everything, but they're the ones who give milk, because that's the opulence of the cowherd community, is their milk, their dairy products. Right? So even though it's more opulent than Vaikuntha, it doesn't have a prominent feature. Right? It doesn't mean that it's not explained, but it yeah. Two 1-174. He was the chief of all people is called the best. Srila Prabhupada 49. All honorable. A person who is chief among all important persons is called honorable. So it seems there's different classes of best. So if you're chief among all important persons, then you're honorable. Right? And if you're just chief amongst whatever it is, then you are the best.
Huh?
Yes.
Big fish in a little pond.
Yes, yes. 2 on 175. Right? That's why you were saying that later on they became humble when they figured out that they were not the chief among important people. Right. Brahman and others came to see Krishna and arrived at the gate at Dwarka. The doorkeeper said, "Oh, Brahma, just sit for a moment with Shiva on this seat." Like Shiva's also waiting there. Right? "It is not necessary to make hymns of praise. Just remain silent." "Oh, Varuna, go away. Why are the devas making such a clamor at the gate? It is not time for the Lord of Dwarka to come." Right? So they've all come to see Krishna because he's the best of all the most important. And so they're coming. Then Shiva's already there. And Brahma said, "Okay, you sit down next to, you don't have to offer prayers, just sit. Krishna's not come yet, just be peaceful." Right? The demigod, "Why are they, Varuna, just go away. This is, don't you see there's already a line here?" And the demigods, "Why are they making so much, fuss? Krishna, it's not even the time for him to come yet." Right? So they're all out there, offering prayers and glorifying him. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna was living at Dwarka, Shiva's sitting there waiting on the bench, right? You go to visit the minister and stuff like that, and there's always that bench, and you have to sit on the bench. Right? So Shiva's already sitting there, and then Brahma comes, he also sits there. And you don't need to, "Oh yes," and all of this and that. Just be quiet. Just be cool, right? Yeah. When Krishna was living at Dwarka, demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, the King of Heaven, and many others used to come to visit him. The doorkeeper, who had to manage the entrance of all these demigods, one very busy day said, "But my dear Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, please sit down on this bench and wait. My dear Indra, please desist from your reading your prayers." Right? So he's got his prayers there and he's going through. You have to make sure it's all right how he wants to say. "This is creating a disturbance. Please wait silently. My dear Varuna, please go away. And my dear demigods, do not waste your time uselessly. Krishna is very busy. He cannot see you." Right? So if he gets a little time, okay, then Brahma and Shiva, they'll get it, and Indra, right? Everybody else, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti. Other doorkeepers coming from Krishna say, "Why are the devatas making such a clamor at the gate?" Then Brahma and others say, "How unfortunate. It is not time for the Lord of Dwarka to come." Right. 2176. It is said that, right, and so then you have all these different, this is at Dwarka. Right. And so then you have so many gates, and so many, so, yeah. Yeah, that must be the gatekeepers, at the break when they're having their tiffin or something like that, then they can talk about, "Yeah, who came to your gate?" "Oh, yeah." That's it. Srila Prabhupada. It is said, 21176. It is said that there are two types of controllers, he who is independent and he whose orders cannot be neglected. Srila Prabhupada. 50, the supreme controller. See, it fits within the 50, right?
Yeah.
Something, we can get a little bit of this. Okay, we're not maybe that the supreme control, maybe supreme with a small s. There are two kinds of controllers or lords. One who is independent is called controller, and one whose orders cannot be neglected by another is called controller. Because he can control to stay out of someone else's control. So he's a controller. And one who, by his order, then everyone has to follow that, he's a controller. 2.1.177. An example of he who is independent. Though Kaliya offended the Lord, Krishna gave him mercy by placing his footmark on his head. Though Brahma praised the Lord, Krishna did not glance at him. Such unprecedented behavior is suitable for the Lord because the Vedas praise him as being independent. Srila Prabhupada. Regarding Krishna's complete independence and lordship, Srimad Bhagavatam says that although Kaliya was a great offender, Krishna still favored him by marking his head with his lotus feet, whereas Lord Brahma, although praying to Krishna with so many wonderful verses, still could not attract him. This contradictory treatment by Krishna is just befitting his position, because in all the Vedic literature, he is described as the complete independent. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is described as Swarat, which means completely independent. That is the position of the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is not only sentient, but is also completely independent. Srila Jiva Goswami, this is suitable, stane, behavior, ayam. He is praised, nutaha, by the Vedas, nigamahi, as having an independent nature. Svatantra Charita. 2178. An example of he whose order cannot be neglected. From the third canto. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes, and is independently supreme by achieving all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching the millions of helmets to his feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.21. 2.1.79. Another example. O enemy of Kamsa, all the Brahmas, accepting your order to create, create all the new universes. All the Shivas destroy all the old universes on your order to destroy. All your expansions in the form of Vishnus protect the universe. Carry out your order to protect the newly created universes. All protectors of the universe, carry out your order to protect the newly created universes. All the masters of the universes in all directions are awaiting your order. Srila Prabhupada. As for Krishna's order not being neglected by anyone, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, verse 21, Uddhava tells Vidura, Lord Krishna is the master of the three modes of material nature. He is the enjoyer of all opulences, and therefore there is no one equal to or greater than him. All the great kings and emperors used to come before him, offer their gifts, and pay obeisances with their helmets at the feet of the Lord. One devotee said, My dear Krishna, when you order Brahma, now you may create the universe, end quote. And when you order Lord Shiva, now you dissolve this material manifestation. You are in this way creating and dissolving the material creation yourself. Simply by your orders and by your partial representation of Vishnu, you are maintaining the universes. In this way, O Krishna, O enemy of Kamsa, there are so many Brahmas and Shivas who are simply carrying out your orders. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, Kritagya does not mean grateful, but accepting orders. Since the universes are old, Kala Jirne, a group of Shivas destroy them on his order. Since the universes are young, Tarune, a group of Vishnus protects them. After the Lord gives the order, it is to be expected that they will be attentive for upholding the given order. Even at the time of creation, the Vishnus and Shivas remain always ready to follow Krishna's order. Because of the existence of portions of universes needing protection and destruction at the same time. However, by use of the three words Navya, Jirna, and Taruna, the intensity of attention at those particular times by Brahmas, Shivas, and Vishnus is emphasized. Right? Who's focusing at what time? When it's the beginning of the new, then Brahma's focusing. When it's in the middle, then Vishnu. And when it's at the end, then the Shivas will be. They're all following Krishna's order.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanante.